You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. What's going on, CP?
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing very, very well, my friend.
I'm glad to be here this morning. It's a bittery cold morning in New York City this morning. I shout out to all the dope boys that got a trap in this weather. It's true, though. It's cold out there.
No, it is beyond frigid out there right now. I believe when I was leaving the house, it said in Central Park it was -1 with the
winter. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was 15 degrees this morning leaving my apartment. It's cold. It's cold out there. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Excited to wrap up the NFL regular season, get the playoffs coming. Baseball is, I've been doing it since Thanksgiving, so and even probably even sooner than that. And, January is going to be a fun month, so just stay tuned.
I have to ask you this, Corey, before we get back into football, because I saw this yesterday morning. I was like, I want to know Corey's
thoughts. Died.
Did you read about Baron Davis's new girlfriend?
Who is that
Laura
lady?
Laura Dern.
Who is that lady?
That is
a nice looking lady.
That is the daughter of Bruce Dern, a very famous actor. She's a famous actress, multiple time award winner, Golden Globe, Emmy.
Okay.
She was previously married to somebody else famous, actually.
Really?
Now she's dating Baron Davis.
Yeah, I wonder how to. Yeah, good job by B. Diddy. Baron Davis, old, retired, washed up ball player,
married,
still got it.
She used to be married to singer songwriter Ben Harper.
Not familiar with Ben.
Not familiar with Ben Harper?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've heard the name, but I couldn't pick.
I like Ben Harper, so it makes sense that you don't like Ben Harper.
We do have some overlapping taste, Greg.
Really? I mean, this guy knows he's good.
Well, I don't know. No, I can't think of none of Ben Harper. I keep hearing like somebody fell down or something. I don't know. Ben Harper's music, I'm not really familiar with. Or maybe I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know, what's Ben Harper's hit?
What's Ben Harper's hit? It's actually a great question. Let's see. He was nominated for a bunch of Grammy Awards, actually, in 2005.
Oh, this is recent. So he's got some things that we should know about.
Yeah. No, I don't remember Ben Harper's hit now. Interesting. I don't know.
Matt, but anyway, Ben Harper guy?
Moving along.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all good, Greg.
Both sides of the gun, it seems.
Both sides of the what?
Gun.
Oh, okay.
Pete the number 7.
This is not. I'm drawing a blank.
Sounds like something those dope
Don Burns. Don Burns, if you could find us Both Sides of the Gun by Ben Harper, that would be great.
That'd be cool. I'm down with that.
That would be good. But Baron Davis, Laura Dern, how about that?
Yeah, look at B. Diddy. B. Diddy, let me tell you something. Baron Davis, as a point guard, wasn't like this great distributor.
I like Baron Davis.
But he was so explosive. When he attacked the paint, Baron Davis was almost unstoppable. And he used to dunk better than any guard I ever seen.
Oh, Steal My Kisses. I know that song.
Oh, there you go.
Steal My Kisses from...
I don't know it.
You know that song?
Sorry.
That's a very famous Ben Harper song. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's get into some football here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
This doesn't seem like Ben Harper.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
This sounds like an 80s.
Brutal song.
Like an 80s, something on a soundtrack. Yeah, exactly.
How about a little Greatest American Hero?
Who is that?
Believe it or not, it's just me. Sussman has no idea what I'm talking about.
Neither does Corey.
who's
you guys don't remember the Greatest American Hero?
The television show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing.
Oh, okay. That
Who
was that.
Could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me.
Oh, I know that song. I know that song. I know that song.
George did it on Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's actually why I know it. it was Answering Machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nah, that's the only reason I know that song.
Nice.
All right. Let's get back into football here. Mm-hmm. We got Dr. Ray coming on the program in about 10 minutes.
Probably one of the smarter decisions we've made is to get into football. Especially today.
Because
I'm coming all over the place today. My mind is just like...
Why?
Because of the cold weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The cold. It's very cold.
Cold weather in like week 17. I mean, yeah. In all honesty, I don't know what the hell to tell people.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
seriously,
for real.
If you're playing for a championship in week 17, you don't know who's starting and who's coming in, how long people are playing.
It's hard.
That's why you should end it.
That's why today on the Frenzy, I'm going to be like, listen, we're not going to do the week 17 thing. But if you have a week 17 question.
Need your help.
No, if you have a week 17 question, 844-843-6879, and we'll work through it. The four of us will work through it together.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'll
but me just
questions.
Sitting up there giving you opinions on weeks. I don't want to. I'm blindfolded.
Like, what were you talking about with Scott? Malcolm Brown?
Yeah. I mean,
if certain players aren't there, like, you know, if Goff was good with Gurley, now you take Gurley and Goff off that team, and you're putting in the...
They go back to the Jeff Fisher era.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Dark Ages.
That's the thing. I don't think they do. Like, I don't think they go back to the Dark Ages because Sean McVay is there. Like,
the
I think he's able to get talent out of this.
The one thing I will say with Jacksonville is I do think Jacksonville does play. It's maybe not Fournette, but I think everybody else does play.
I agree.
It's part
outside
of that
of
Bill
Fournette.
Parcells coaching tree kind of
well,
thing.
Well, what did Tom he Coughlin do with that. The Giants? Well, they never was really that good.
That's true.
They like they had to play their way in. Then they got hot.
Well, against the undefeated Patriots, they played everybody.
That was a hell of a game.
That was an awesome game.
One of the best games I've ever seen.
I was at a Christmas party.
I remember. I'll always remember this story. It's one of my favorite stories that I have. It's that week, and I'm with a hater Jet fan, and we watched that game in my basement in my house. And Giants lose the game, and all the Giants fans in the room were like, man, that was impressive. They hung with the undefeated team. Like, you know what? Who knows what can happen? And he just goes, his arms crossed. He goes, I'm not impressed.
Oh, God.
I'm like, what do you mean? You're not impressed?
That was me, though.
You know, I'm not impressed.
That was, I was the same
I go,
way.
I go, what are you? What is it going to take you to be impressed? I mean, they played really well in this game. And he goes, let them win the Super Bowl. Then I'll be impressed.
Oh,
so they go on to win the Super Bowl. His inbox is flooded with texts.
Are you impressed?
For a week.
Yeah.
Impressed, question mark? That was it. For weeks.
Yeah, I remember watching. It was I think this was. I think my sister and Noah was like. They maybe had just got married. They were newlyweds. They were still living in Queens.
So liked each other.
We was over there. Yeah, we was over there, and we was watching it. And I wasn't impressed either. I was like, "What's the big deal? They still lost." You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So I wasn't.
That sounds like a Scott Engel take.
Yeah.
They didn't win.
Yeah. They didn't win. I remember Randy Moss catching that touchdown pass. It was like his 25th of that season or something like that. That was a magical season. And then what made it better was the fact that they lost at the end.
You know, it's funny.
It's the only time in my life I rooted for the New York Giants.
Because that magical touchdown pass, I know exactly what Corey's talking about on the right side of the field. They had the same play in the Super Bowl on that last drive on the left side of the field.
Yep.
And it just didn't.
Didn't work.
It didn't work. I was like, oh my, there it was. It flashed before my eyes. Exactly the same play. And this time it was not completed. That was many moons
ago. I do enjoy hearing the Patriot fans, like, you know, trying to make rationale out of not having Gucci Garoppolo anymore. Like, well, we couldn't have $30 million tied up in quarterbacks.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Patriot fans, let me tell you something. You Patriot fans start talking trash, you'd just be like Eli Manning. And they'd be like, leave me alone.
We were asked a question on Twitter. Mike wanted us to ask this question, so I wanted to ask it to you guys. Since the season is over, and I know you don't want to talk about Week 17, Corey.
Mike who?
Mike Cardona.
Actually. Okay, cool.
He wanted me to ask you guys, season's over, should you tip the commissioner?
This is interesting right here. This is an interesting topic right here. Tipping the commissioner when the season. Oh, okay, who tips them? All the money winners or the entire league?
Money winners.
Should the money winners tip the commissioner?
Correct.
I think it depends. If the commissioner does win money, I don't think you have to tip him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem tipping them, but I mean, it depends on how you want to do it. Depends how good your commissioner was, too.
I think the service is important of the commissionership, how good the commissioner was.
I'll judge it by this. How about this? If the commissioner pays within 48 hours, he gets a tip.
You can do it that way. You can say that that's a way that you can do it. Or, like, say, for example, Scott, the king, Scott Angle, he just brought down a nice piece. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I think he should give Tony something.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he should give Tony his friend, Tony Cincata. I think he should give him something.
That's reasonable.
Yes, I agree.
That's a reasonable take.
I would hold a stipulation. As long as I know checks in the mail in 48 hours, you will get a tip.
There you go. But how much should the tip be, though? That's the thing.
10% is the most.
So, yeah, I'm not giving him like...
would you say 10% is the most?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you won like $2,000, that's $200.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Oh, no, I'm not giving him $200.
No, I'm not.
Giving him 20. I give him a dub. Go get a haircut or buy something for the kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing nothing crazy like that.
I'm
not going to send him to the day shift.
in my
Scott's
league,
not giving him $200.
No. You know that.
In my home
Scott
leagues,
might give him $25.
In my home league, I was commissioner for literally like a decade. I wasn't tipped once.
Yeah.
Never. So I maybe that was just the way we play with our friends or whatever. I have no interest. Never. I don't know. It never even occurred to me I'm supposed to tip.
I will always tip if I do any kind of pool, like say you do boxes, or if it's like say a weekly pool.
Okay.
Every week it's like, oh, you got to pick the
game. You got to put something together. I'll always
give 10% of my winnings of that, no matter what. Somebody's organizing it, setting that up. I mean, as far as fantasy football, you can make the argument, look, they want to do the league, they want to be in charge. You know, some people just like to have the power.
It's so interesting because it reminded me. So I every year I always kind of set up New Year's. I think I told you guys this for my friends. We all go to a bar. We get an open bar type thing, and I always set it up. It's kind of my thing. And I have never to this day like asked for a cent more from anybody because I'm setting it up. I've never said it right. If it's $100, I've never asked anyone for $105 just for as a tip for me. And it never even occurred to me to do that. And the same goes for. As a fantasy owner, like I said, I commissioned so many leagues over the last 10 years. I never thought once to be like, oh, do I get a tip?
More importantly, if you go to like a diner or type of place in the morning and you get a breakfast, make sure you tip the waiter or waitress. Those people need it the most. And seriously.
That's
a lot of people will order something and skimp out.
That's whack.
Throw down a $5 or something.
What about at a buffet, though? Hmm. See, at a buffet, do you tip at a buffet?
Oh well,
if bring somebody's you drinks serving and stuff,
you, yeah, you have to tip.
I think you have to. They're serving you drinks and stuff.
I do. I mean, you go to the buffet, you get the food yourself.
If somebody's livelihood depends on it, yeah, they deserve a tip.
I agree. I mean, they got a buffet here. I've ate here at the buffet. You know what I'm saying? Take care of the people. You know what I mean? But yeah, I would
$37
give $37. No, never mind. But I do believe that you know that if you're at a restaurant and it's not a buffet, I would tip those people more than I would tip at a buffet.
Fine.
And I also believe that 20% is the new minimum.
Okay.
People that are trying to pull this 15% stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be 2018 in a couple of days. 20%.
Okay, you know it's interesting. So on Christmas Eve, I went to a Chinese restaurant down in Chinatown, and
really,
yeah.
Why is that
like a really thing?
I'm fooling with you. Go ahead.
It was a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown. And you know what these places, you have no idea what the bill says. Like, you literally have no idea. There's no words on the bill. It's just a bunch of numbers. And you try to figure out, like, all right, yeah, I guess this makes sense. So I was like, let's actually just like look at the bill to make sure like, I'm not getting screwed here. So we were looking at the bill, and all the numbers made sense. And then at the bottom, I was like, all right, times... So there was a tax, clearly. And then it was like, oh, times 16%. I was like, 16%? All right. If that's their want their tip to be 16%. I'm not tipping on top of that. There's only three of us. It wasn't like a six-person thing. There was three of us that charged us 16%.
Well, see, that's where they're screwing themselves. If they
I agree.
Add that in, I've noticed, like, at Sushi Damo. They will put on the bill.
Like we're saying names now.
20% would be this.
Yeah.
25% would be that.
Yeah.
So at least you know what to give and that. But if somebody does go ahead and look, if it's a party of eight, they should include the tip.
Exactly. There's three of us.
A party of three and then
no, that's ridiculous.
In, if that's what you want
keep
to
it.
Do,
yeah,
you
keep
know
it.
What? You just beat
you
yourself.
Short yourself. Yeah, exactly. You short yourself when you do that sometimes. And some establishments do that.
Yeah, you know, so that was silly. But anyway, we're going to fantasy football.
What's up?
What are you laughing?
I just got a text message.
Great. Tipping. Matt says 10% as long as you get paid within 48 hours. Corey said, you know, give him like $20
this
or something.
You hear this instrumental in the background?
Yeah.
This is the jizzle.
Okay.
This is a classic.
All right. Tipping. There you go. We'll come back. Dr. A joins the program. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're back here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and it's time. I'm very excited to do this.
Talk to Dr. A?
Talk to Dr. A for the first time in a long time.
Oh, do we have a list of people that we
it's
have
in the same spot it's been every week for the last 17
Greg,
weeks.
Greg, it's 7 degrees outside. My
17
brain,
weeks.
My brain is frozen, Greg.
I'm prepared. No, I'm so
the list has been in the same spot.
I'm a class clown, so you know I'm not prepared.
Dr. A, welcome back to the show. How's your trip?
Trip was great. It's 28 degrees here in Atlanta, so you know it's pretty cold when New York is at 7 degrees. So.
Oh my God, it's cold out. It's cold out here. All right, we want to help people that are playing in week 17. There are tough decisions that have to be made, and we need to help try and figure it out. So let me start with the Los Angeles Chargers, because Austin Eckler has a broken hand. We know that. Now, Melvin Gordon was in a walking boot after Sunday's game, and fantasy owners want to know if they should be playing Brandon Oliver this week. With the playoffs on the line in Week 17 for the Chargers, will we see Melvin Gordon out there?
So you probably will see Melvin Gordon out there because, again, teams that are in the playoff hunt tend to overlook the statistical stuff that we come up with from an injury recovery standpoint. Whether he can actually, you know, perform at the highest level is questionable. You know, he was elevated injury risk before this week and before that injury. And now he's at high injury risk of 27%. This is a grade one ankle sprain. It requires 2 weeks, especially for a running back. It's not, you know, there's two ways to answer that question, Greg. One is, will he be out there? Yes. Two, will he be at elevated injury risk, high injury risk? Yes. Will it impact his ability to perform at the highest level? Yes. And so, he's at high injury risk. That's what the algorithm is saying. Melvin Gordon and, you know, certain players, when they get into the playoff hunt, you know, they tend to sometimes forget about their injuries and perform pretty high at a high level for a half or maybe a quarter, but then the injury catches up to them. So, you know, he's at high injury risk, and he's listed for high injury risk for this game.
Hey, what's going on, Doc? How's everything?
Everything is great, Corey. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much, sir. Last weekend, Chris Hogan wasn't on the field again. What's the deal with Hogan? He was out big chunk of the season, came back for 1 week, went right back out. Does this guy need to be on the injured reserve going into the playoffs, or you think he'll be on their playoff roster?
Well, this is the roller coaster ride of shoulder injuries that we've seen this year from Chris Hogan, right? So, you know, injured his shoulder in week 10. It's a grade 3. Needed 7 weeks, came back 3 weeks too early in week 14, re-aggravated it. We do not like that term, re-aggravation. It delays their healing even further. Went back to a grade 3 shoulder injury, didn't play week 15 and 16, and he still needs 2 more weeks. He's at a grade 2 now, heading toward grade 1. The good news is that he was at high injury risk. Now he's improved to elevated at 23%, so he's in the right direction. direction. The trending looks pretty good. But again, he's got to rest. And so, I mean, you know, obviously the Patriots need to win this game to secure home field, I believe. So, you know, he's one of these guys, again, that they're showing limited at practice. And, you know, the Patriots, you know, gamesmanship on the injury report out of a lot of other teams, you know. So given the fact that it's the Patriots, given the fact that he was limited at practice, you know, we're predicting that, he should not play in this game and he will not play in this game. And if he does, it's not a guy that you want to pick and put on your fantasy roster.
Hey, Doc, welcome back. The guy I want to talk about is DeMarco Murray. I think this guy will go on the field with one leg if need be. Can you break down to the people how severe this injury is and his chances of actually playing this Sunday?
Yeah, so it's a grade 3, and it's interesting. So our algorithm predicted it was a grade 3, and they came out and said it's a third-degree MCL tear. So, you know, the algorithm works. You know, I just want to give kudos to the algorithm. You know, it's a partial tear of the medial collateral ligament. This is something that requires 6 weeks of healing time. To be able to actually go out the next week and try to play on it requires lots and lots of pain management, and it's an incredible risk that he's taking, because if that thing tears, there's, you know, obviously he's out for, you know, the off season next year. I mean, to repair an MCL complete tear at his age, it definitely will be a very, very long road to recovery. So he's taking a huge risk. He was high injury risk before this game, and he's had, you know, multiple sort of ticky-tack injuries throughout the season. This is a pretty serious injury. The likelihood for him playing in this game, is... You know, he should not be on the field. This is a 100% decision for him not to be on the field. He's really, really risking not only getting injured, but risking a long-term recovery from an injury at his age. And it's not, you know, and partially probably risking his career.
Wow, you hear that for DeMarco Murray, potentially risking his career if he gets out there on the field. And we know, Corey, he's a free agent after this year. He's got,
he's going to want to get his money.
One last payday. So we'll see if DeMarco Murray's out there. I agree with Doc. There's no reason to put DeMarco Murray out there, especially when you have a guy as capable as Derrick Henry behind him. Hey, Doc, last week we didn't expect Samaje Perine to play. It kind of gotten better and better and better. And then he did play, and then he left the game. Will we see Samaje Perine on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit, it took a little time to compile all these different injuries that he sustained in a very, very short period of time. But just to summarize real quickly, he has a soft tissue groin injury that was previous to the game last week, and then he has a grade 1 ankle slash Achilles injury, and he also has a grade 1 shoulder injury. Now, the good news for him is young, right? So he doesn't have any real significant injuries in the past. Being young is an asset, right? You tend to heal faster and everything, and he's got, these are all tweaks. These are not grade 2 level, 3 level injuries. So he was elevated injury risk before last week's game. He's still at elevated at 13%. Low injury risk is 12% or lower. So he's right on the cusp of low injury risk. So believe it or not, guys, even with all of these injuries, he's still on the cusp of low injury risk. The problem is that his HPF is below average at 61%. So these injuries, even though they're ticky-tack, and they probably won't have a significantly increased risk of re-injuring them, it'll impact his ability to really perform on the field. He needs one more week, unfortunately, to get back into that above average peak health. So, he's close to low injury risk, but these injuries will significantly impact his ability on the field.
Hey, Doc, let's get to the big one. Don't really make a difference for week 17, but I guess we're looking at the NFL round, the divisional round of the playoffs. Pittsburgh Steelers fans, if they want to win their 7th Super Bowl, they're going to need Mr. Antonio Brown on the field. Will he be there for them in the division round of the playoffs, which is about 3 weeks from now?
So I believe they got a bye, correct, guys?
Yes,
they have a bye. So that's excellent, excellent, excellent news, because a grade 2, grade 3 calf injury that he sustained in week 15 requires 4 weeks of recovery time. So 15 to 16, 16 to 17, 17 to the first bye, and then the bye to the first game. That is a full recovery. He was at low injury risk. He's at high injury risk right now, obviously, because he still got that partial tear. But he will, if he sits out and, you know, it takes his time in rehab and gets going, he'll have that full 4 weeks of recovery and fully expect him to get very close and even back into low injury risk and peak health.
Can I get asked, Doc, about my knee?
Yeah, of course.
Doc, I got this thing with my knee, Doc. I think it might be due to the weather. It's really been happening since it really got cold. Like, right in the middle of my knee, Doc, when I stand up and, you know, and going up and downstairs and stuff like that, I get, like, this sharp pain in my knee, Doc. What's wrong with me, Doc?
Doc, we know Corey's not on the list. You don't have to answer that.
Well, we've listed Corey at high injury risk the whole season.
Yeah, I have been.
So, you know, and not for his play on the field, probably.
And he had 3 bye weeks.
Yeah, and I had 3 bye weeks this year, too, Doc. Wow. Getting washed up, Doc.
Hey, Doc, can we talk about Joe Mixon? He's been a polarizing figure on this channel. It's been a disappointing season, no matter how way you cut it. But what's the outlook for this weekend?
Yeah, you know, the concussion, he stayed out 2 weeks. You know, he really, you know, he didn't have... I think there's issues beyond, obviously, the season that he had. I don't think it's significantly related to mostly the injury that he's had, because I think it has to do really more with the Bengals and, you know, their offensive line. But the biggest thing is that he's got a grade one ankle for a running back. It's 2 weeks. I don't think the Bengals are really going anywhere. They may decide to shut him down potentially, you know, but this type of injury just moved him up into elevated injury risk at 14%. Again, if he rests for 2 weeks, he'll be back at low injury risk. So, I mean, he's at relatively low and above average the whole season, but I don't think that really, you know, his injuries did not really have an impact on his numbers so much. It's really other factors on the football field.
It does sound like most of the guys that we're asking Doc about today are just banged up. You know, it's been a long season, yeah. and certainly these guys like Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon, they're just banged up. And a lot of these are grade one injuries and nothing significant, thankfully. But it's a long year, and you can just tell football obviously just takes a toll on all these guys. And that's like for Evan Engram, who's battling sore ribs, for him. What is the deal? Because I didn't even know this guy was hurt until he didn't play this past weekend. What's the deal with James White? Like, what's his deal? Will he be back for the playoffs?
Again, Patriots, you know, the whole injury report thing. He's a grade 2 ankle injury right now, according to us. He did miss week 16. This is a 4-week recovery time.
Ooh, okay.
You know, does he really have a grade 2 ankle injury? You know, the 4 weeks puts him, obviously, you know, the same sort of time period as Antonio Brown. I believe the Patriots have a bye, correct? So
they do.
You know, if they do rest him, you know, he will be back into low injury risk appropriately. However, I do think the Patriots need to win, right, for home field advantage against the Jets. So I think, you know, one of these guys, James White, Chris Hogan, Rex Burkhead, James White, Chris Hogan, out of all three of those guys, you know, probably James White would be the one that could potentially play in the game, because he's the closest to low injury risk out of all these players.
All right, there you go. That's Dr. Ray Inside Injuries making his return from his vacation. Doc, we appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely, guys. Good to be with you.
Fantastic. All right, we take a break. When we come back, a lot more football coming your way this morning, including some of the guys that underperformed Week 17. What do we like or hate about them going forward? Adam Thielen on the list. We'll talk about him next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And a name you brought up, Matt, yesterday that has just not had the best of playoffs is Adam Thielen. And he is like the poster child of you have to give him credit because he got you there. But when everything was on the line once you were there, it was a disaster. Let me read you his playoffs. First week of the playoffs against Carolina. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, that was
6 for 105 and a touchdown. That was against me. I remember that. The next 2 weeks in the playoffs, Corey Parson. 3 for 30, 2 for 24.
Yeah, I got a Thielen. Shout out to Spittin' Speeds.
On vacation.
Yeah, on vacation.
Speaking of that, you'll be filling in tonight for the Spittin' Speeds.
I'll be filling in. I'll be doing lineup lock with Tony Sincotta, and I'm going to hold down the fantasy freestyle.
You tonight. And Chris Ventura holding down the fantasy freestyle.
Me. He's not ready for billing yet. Nah, but me and Venture will be holding down.
Corey Parson featuring.
Yes, Corey Parson along with.
Chris, your boy, Venture.
Yeah, there you go. Nah, I got a feeling. Listen, he's 220. He's 2017's breakout fantasy star. Hands down. He had a great season. He, like you said, he's one of the guys that got you there. Those last couple of weeks, we kind of saw that go away from them more. But they really were in control running the football those last couple of weeks. You saw Lat Murray and Jerick McKinnon have those big games. So kind of wasn't needed for Thielen. So definitely was needed for your fantasy team, though. So that sucks.
Yeah, week 15, that game was out of hand early. They had a defensive touchdown. The Bengals never threatened the Vikings. And even in week 16, it was frigid in Lambeau. They got the touchdown from Diggs. They didn't finish drives off. That was the problem there. Thielen did, I think, get targeted like a half a dozen times. There was one, they just missed him here or there. So, I mean, it happens. I think it was more game script than anything. And, you know, when you have the game locked up pretty much, it kind of makes it hard. You know, I was, as a Diggs owner last week, I was thrilled he got that touchdown early.
So, ultimately, the question I need to ask can't be answered right now, which is the frustrating part.
What's the question?
It's, where does Adam Thielen go next year?
Yeah, you can't
answer that because you have no idea who the quarterback is. The
quarterback will be Teddy Bridgewater.
And if that's the case, I'm less interested in Adam Thielen, I think.
Yeah, I would be too, because you don't know. Bridgewater could come in and he could be on your man Steph Diggs, or Bridgewater can come in and, you know, spread it around more evenly. You don't really know how it's going to be. Like, you know what? Bridgewater, he's still going to be a thing. Because Diggs is not going to play 16 games. I guarantee you Diggs don't play 16
it's
games.
It's going to be interesting to see next season if they switch them back and put Diggs in the slot.
Slip with Diggs in the slot.
That's
Thielen on the
things
outside.
You got to look at as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to.
Definitely. But why do that when this year it was so successful?
Yep.
I think maybe Thielen's more of that. Like, going into the season, to me, he was a poor man's Jordy Nelson.
Right, we said that. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think I don't know. I think I like him better on the outside than Figs. I don't know.
Figs, we're calling him now.
What'd they call him?
Diggs. Okay. So, you combined him.
I think both these guys are going to be very relevant next season, regardless who the quarterback is. If Cook comes back, it is an ACL tear for a running back, so it's going to be tough. But I think this team has a lot of talent on offense. We've seen this offensive line with the additions they did this season really gel nicely. So I like this offense. The quarterback will be key next season. So, but I'll be in on both these wide receivers depending upon the price. I mean, if Thielen gets too high.
What is the price that you want to pay for them?
Well, I think Stephon Diggs is probably going to stay where he's at next year because of the fact that he has that injury risk that he won't play the full 16 games. Thielen may get too expensive. So if he gets too expensive, then I'll have to look for 2018's Adam Thielen.
Okay, so there you go. I'm excited to find out who the 2018's Adam Thielen will be. My third-ranked running back coming into this year, once Ezekiel Elliott had that suspension stuff surrounding him, was Devontae Freeman. On the year, Freeman has 840 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns on the ground. Through the air for Devontae Freeman this year, 0 touchdowns, just 27 receptions for him. That's
something that we've seen a change from Shanahan
that
this
is
all season.
Compared to last year where he had 54 receptions, yeah. A.K.A. double the amount of receptions last year to this year. In the fantasy playoffs, let me read you Devontae Freeman's game log. Without Tevin Coleman, 24 for 91 and a touchdown. Without Tevin Coleman, 22 for 126 and a touchdown. With Tevin Coleman, 11 for 36.
I look at the defense of the New Orleans Saints. I'm not going to put that on.
First game was with the Saints. The 24 for 91 was against the Saints.
He balled out against them at home in Atlanta that night.
Correct.
And then
Thursday Night Football.
Coming back from the concussion. Or that was like a game, or the game after coming back from the concussion.
He let you down.
That was the game after coming back from the concussion.
He fumbled. I mean, he had a couple opportunities to score touchdowns.
Fumbled on the goal line. Got really stuffed for the goal line. Yeah.
Last season in week 14, he had like a three. In week four, I remember watching the game. I was like, I can't believe this dude. Because I had him everywhere last season.
Week
14 last season when the playoffs started, he put up like a three.
He put
against
up
the 49ers.
Six carries against the Rams.
Okay, yeah.
In week 14, six carries, 6 yards.
Yeah, there you go. That was hardware. I remember, and I had him. But
A week later, when you weren't around anymore, against the 49ers in week 15, 20 carries for 139 yards and 3 touchdowns.
So now, this is the thing with Freeman. Good season, solid, you know. You see how he runs. As long as he's healthy, non-concussed, he's going to be out there. You don't like the dip in the pass catching. And I think that's going to be a thing moving forward. He's not going to have a 50-catch season. He may not have 25, 30-catch seasons from here on out. But what he does between the tackles, what he does on the goal line, you go back to Devontae Freeman, probably on that 1-2 turn next year. I have no problem with Freeman. And then what he gave you this year down the stretch. Yeah, you don't like the action in Week 16, but Freeman was a beast. I can't blame him for nothing.
Yeah, no, he's definitely. I would like to get him maybe early second round.
Okay.
Maybe after the turn. Because, I mean, I'm going to look and see. It's going to be interesting. I think if it was the Shanahan offense,
he'd have been crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He would have went crazy. And now he's got 3 concussions. So you got to have a little hesitation. Because if he does suffer another one next year, it might take him even longer to come back. And, you know, then you got to start worrying about his future. So, I mean, I think he's a hell of a player. As Corey said, inside that red zone, in the green zone, there's few running backs you want more than him.
You know, he crushed you this week.
And you don't want him to hit you either. I tell you that much.
No. I love Devontae Freeman.
Week 15 versus the Bucs, he had, what, over 150 yards total offense, at least one, maybe 2 touchdowns. So
I can assure you, I'll be back on Devontae Freeman next year. He just runs too hard. He's still young. Year 2 of the Atlanta Falcons offense.
Well, let's just see. You going to take Melvin Gordon over him next year?
I would
take Melvin Gordon over him next year,
you
yes.
You got Melvin Gordon, you got Zeke, you got DJ,
Kareem Hunt, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley. Those six guys will all go over him next
Alvin
year.
Alvin
Kamara and Mark Ingram are very interesting.
I would take Freeman over Ingram. I'd probably take Kamara over Freeman.
I think I might take Ingram over Freeman. I would take Freeman over Kamara.
I'm just so curious to see what the Saints do this offseason. Like I said, they still got to bring back Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah.
Do they trade Ingram now and figure they got their guy for the future? Because they are. If you just listen to everything from that draft throughout the preseason, prior to the season starting, how excited that Peyton was. I think Peyton referred to Kamara to Marshall Faulk back in the preseason. So,
yeah, Kamara's going to be a very, very tough one to figure out. So then you get to a guy that let you down in a major way in week 16. And you may laugh, but it's true. It's Cameron Brate. And without O.J. Howard in the lineup, you started Cameron Brate and you felt really good about it because, listen, there's no DeSean Jackson. There's no O.J. Howard. We know Jameis Winston, how much he loves Cameron Brate. And in week 16, it just didn't happen. For Brate and Jameis, and Jameis wound up throwing for close to 400 yards in this game, despite 3 lost fumbles. Cameron Brate against Carolina, 3 catches for 13 yards. His fantasy playoff goes as follows. Against the Lions, 1 for 11. Against the Falcons, 4 for 49. Against the Panthers, 3 for 13. All losses for Tampa, who have lost quite a few in a row.
Yeah, this is a situation where the player's injured.
Right.
The player's injured.
He's banged up.
Yeah, he's banged up. Probably shouldn't have been out there in the first place, but Brate gave it a go. Fantasy owners didn't know that. Very disappointing situation like that. So it's nothing really you can do about that. Interesting to see what they do with that thing next year.
That's why I brought it up.
I think they should move Cameron Brate.
So Cameron Brate is actually a restricted free agent. So they don't even have to bring him back.
Yeah,
His days in Tampa are
gone. Yeah.
And look, Cameron Brate for that first half of the season was awesome.
It was great.
And, you know, the way the tight end position goes, you were able to move on and fill that out. So, I mean, Cameron Brake's not the reason. If you played in Week 16, I don't blame you for the fact that Howard was out and Jackson was out. There were so many pieces out. And as bad as we want to say Winston was this year, he didn't take that step up. Winston did have, he threw for a lot of yards in a lot of games.
No.
So for fantasy purposes, he was good when on the field.
Jameis finished right outside the top 12. Like, it's crazy. Well, no, he didn't, because he had a couple games that he missed. But if you do it on a point per game basis, he might be.
Yeah, he only played like 12 games.
I'm interested, where would you take OJ Howard next year if Cameron Brate's not back?
That's a tough call right there.
Is he a top 10 tight end?
I think he's somewhere between 7. I don't know. That's a tough call right
now. I'd probably put him in there.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll talk to the All-In Kid, and I'll ask him that question right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Greg Sussman, Matt Modica, welcome by, Corey Parson here as well, and of course, we welcome in, as we do each and every day at this time, the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
Not too much, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Before we went to break, we were talking about Cameron Brate a little bit and how he was really a big letdown during the fantasy playoffs, especially once O.J. Howard got hurt. And especially in the finals, Brate didn't do much. And Corey, Matt, and I, we all agreed that we've probably seen the last of Cameron Brate in Tampa Bay. O.J. Howard ready to take the next step forward and Brate a restricted free agent. If O.J. Howard is the man at tight end in Tampa Bay, are you willing to call him a top 10 tight end going into 2018?
He'll be right in the conversation. He'll be a tight end one for sure. Look, the fact is, we talk about rookie tight ends and the lack of the ability to step up as a rookie. Evan Ingram's the first one since Rob Gronkowski, and so it's been a while. And even before Gronkowski, it was even longer than the stretch that we've had from him to Ingram, which has been 7 years. So this is something we see normally, but the ones of that talent we usually see break out in the second year once they've got more comfortable and more in the passing game. And so given his talent, given the fact that he's such a good blocker, and that was what was holding him back this year, is that he's going to be asked to block when he was on the field with Cameron Brate as things started for the first half of the season. That's exactly what we saw. He's just going to be on the field 70, 80, 90% of the time. So now you're talking about somebody with his pass catching ability who will be, yes, he's at least a tight end one. I could probably, just off the top of my head, I think top 10 is very doable, because I can't imagine 9 other names or 10 other names to push him out.
So given what you said about rookie tight ends in year 2 in the NFL, there's one more name that you have to bring up. And unfortunately, I don't know if we can answer that because we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. But Evan Ingram's going to be in there. OJ Howard, of course, will be in there. And then you get to David Njoku. David Njoku, the other first round tight end that went in last year's draft, year 2. What do you think of him going forward?
I actually think that he'll be in the conversation. Maybe, like I said, it's going to depend on the quarterback. But even like this year, we saw a few games here with Sean Kizer being able to get him some value where he had some tight end 1 weeks. And it's just the fact that David Njoku is the same thing as Evan Ingram. They're both tight ends in a very loose sense of the term. They're basically oversized wide receivers, quick tight ends, because they don't block well. Evan Ingram's starting to block a little bit better. He's been working on that this year, so kudos to him. But both of them, they're coming out of college, they were just they're hybrids. They're kind of the Quincy and Nunez, although they're bigger than Quincy and Nunez, but they're that hybrid role. So I actually think that Njoku will be in the conversation no matter who the quarterback is. Obviously, we hope it's better than Deshaun Kizer.
All right, so there you go. All three sides.
I like Njoku. I think as the season went along, we saw him getting more and more snaps.
He can play.
He's young. He's raw. He's very raw. And if a competent quarterback is in there, I really like him.
So there you go. All three rookie tight ends could be have close to flirt with top 10, top 12 value as you start.
It, the position was going down anyway, so it's good to get new talent in there.
Well, speaking of the position going down, Corey, that leads me to the last tight end that I want to talk about today, and it was Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen coming into this year was not somebody anybody wanted. He was falling down so many people's draft lists. He gets hurt in week two. He comes back. He puts up a donut, then goes out again, comes back, and then in week 15, explodes in a monster game. Jake, Greg Olsen in 2018, are you jumping back on the bandwagon, or are you done?
I'm on for the right price, as long as he's healthy. That's the biggest thing with Greg Olsen. He started off the season a little bit slow, and as age, you have to be concerned that he all of a sudden has an Antonio Gates-like drop-off.
Sure.
But I think he's still in the tight end one conversation. He'll just be at the lower, and it's really going to be about the value that you are in your draft, because it wouldn't Matt just said that about Njoku. I was thinking in the back of my mind, he might end up being the best value of all the second-year
right.
tight ends, just because everybody's going to be looking at Ingram's draft inside the top five, and then Howard is the breakout. But the same thing with Olsen. He might slip back because they like Delaney Walker.
I was going to say the same thing.
I'm pushing all my Hunter Henry chips in next year.
I was going to say the same thing that Jake just said. Walker, Olsen next year is going to be like how Delaney Walker was this year.
All right.
That's okay. All right, for Jake Seeley, for Corey Parson, and for Matt Modica, my name is Greg Sussman. The Fantasy Football Frenzy is up next. Have a great one, everybody.